I remember it as if it were yesterday. As we prepared for the ride of our lives, you'll see in a moment here when we get that screen. Oh, there we go. Yes. It was our first exciting one of our mission trips with the youth in the Freeland Church. And we were really excited about this trip because we had planned a whitewater rafting experience after we had our week of serving in Pennsylvania, I believe it was. And you know how before you go on a rafting trip, if you've ever been on one, they prepare you. They teach you and they have all these lessons that you have to learn and what if this happens, that happens, and all that stuff. So they did that here, got us all ready, and we were all excited. But as you see, we really weren't too nervous yet because if you notice the water behind it, that was about as fast as it got. We had a good experience, and it was kind of entertaining as the kids still talk about it today. We went to Pennsylvania at the wrong time, apparently, and but it was a new experience. So, well, today in my message, we look at our awakening to a new way of life. That is a deeper trust in God preparing us for what I call the ride of our lives. For the believer, it begins with our baptism as the transforming power of God's love draws us into relationship. Today it begins for this your child as well. Then for the one who truly seeks to follow Christ in their living, a deeper bond of trust is formed between God and person, leading to a life of genuine love, bound by trust. The Apostle Peter in this text speaks to the evidence of this awakening in the believers' lives after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Verse 21, through Christ you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in Him because He raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory. When we trust in God, Jesus offers not just a different way to live or a lifestyle, but He offers us a life filled with substance. The question is are we living a lifestyle seeking only to fill up our space and time with things that lose their value, things that are perishable in this world, or are we living a life of substance built on trust in God, which, as Scripture tells us, lasts forever? I remember the story when I was quite a bit younger watching Robert Schuller, and there was a CEO on there, Kenneth Baring, and he also was the owner of the Seattle Seahawks, if you know him. And he recalls the time that he traded footballs for wheelchairs. He had become very successful, but his story was one of from rags to riches. He went from having nothing to having everything. He had a lifestyle, yet his life, he says, was lacking in substance as he longed for something more. And after his first trip to Africa, he saw children and adults crawling on the ground because of no limbs or disformities in their bodies. And it was then that he founded the Wheelchair Foundation. Lifestyle or life of substance? That is the question for us today. And to help share this idea, there was a book called When You're Giving Everything You've Got and Still Not Getting What You Hoped For. And in it, the author talks about four different rides through life that many people are choosing as their lifestyle journey. Maybe you can find yourself somewhere in one of these or someone you know. First, we have the downward slide lifestyle. We may have experienced downward momentum in our life, times when things grow so gloomy, it seems as if someone had turned off the lights at the other end of the tunnel. Even though we did everything we could, we still feel cheated, set up by the system that we had invested in. We are on a downward slide and not rewarded as we thought fit. Sliders, he said, increasingly see no reason to invest themselves in anyone or anything. They let the pull of gravity guide their lives and their attitudes, dragging others down ever close to the bottom as well, to the end of the ride. The early church could have easily found themselves slipping into this lifestyle, filled with doom and gloom, alone in unknown territory. After being forcibly dispersed, their lives turned upside down, living among people with beliefs different from their own newfound faith. The apostle encourages them in verse 17. Remember, he says, the Heavenly Father to whom you pray. Maybe you find yourself there. Your future is uncertain. Circumstances have robbed you of joy. You experience loneliness even in a crowd of people. And maybe prayer is what you need today. Trust. We'll turn on the lights in the darkest corners of our lives. Trust in God saves us from downward slide way of living. Number two is the never-ending treadmill lifestyle. If you've been on a treadmill, you're familiar with those. We are always exhausted, but fear slowing down for fear of losing ground. We shortchange those closest to us. We can't even fit into our lives the exercise or diet we need. Like the treadmill, this ride never really goes anywhere. On the treadmill, we expend all our energy, a life filled outside with activity after activity, yet a lifestyle that leaves us maybe empty inside. You see, these Christians would have felt that way, as Peter tells us, because they were not in the majority. They were not popular among the ruling parties, both secular and religious. They experienced fear, ridicule, being thrown out of town. Their families feared their neighbors. And most followers of that day met in secret. Exhausted from having to keep up the facade in public to protect the faith they had come to know, fear of slowing down, of losing ground, fear of not doing enough to keep up with the Joneses. Maybe you find yourselves here. The apostles' words tell us that we must live a life in reverence toward God, fearing only His judgment while seeking only His reward. 1 Thessalonians, the author writes, our purpose is to please God, not people, because He alone examines our hearts. Maybe it's not about doing more or doing less, but about doing what will please God and not man, and what will bring great eternal reward. Trust in God saves us from the never-ending treadmill way of living. Number three, the roller coaster lifestyle. If you've been on one, you know that familiarity. One minute we're high with life, with work, with God. The next minute we're plunged down low. One minute we're on top of the world. The next minute we're on skid row. Our body says it can't keep up, but we ignore it anyway. We don't like routines. We love the fast track. We like pressure. And maybe we even like ulcers and migraines and high blood pressure as well. We see the evidence of the ups and downs of these early Christians as well as the apostles speak of their former way of life. In verse 13, he writes, think clearly, meaning they probably didn't at one time, and exercise self-control, but set your hope on grace. In 14, he says, don't sit back into your old ways of life, satisfying your own desires. You didn't know better then, but you do now. Chapter 2, I get rid of evil behavior, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and unkind speech. If you've ever had a fear of falling, well, theirs was a fear of slipping back, enough to give anyone high blood pressure and ulcers. Maybe you find yourself here today. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4, throw off your old sinful nature and former way of life. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes and put in you a new nature, created truly righteous and holy. The question is, do we trust only in what makes us happy, or do we trust in who makes us holy? Do we choose short-term satisfaction over long-term gain? Happiness is short-term, but a life of substance filled with joy is built on trust in God. It is because of our hope in Christ in us that we can be sustained and even experience joy through the ups and downs, because we know our hope is eternal. Trust in God saves us from this roller coaster style of life. And number four, the uncontrollable escalator lifestyle, if you've ever been on one of those. Despite success, we can't stop. We keep on upping the ante in our lives. We never feel financially comfortable. No matter how much we have no life outside of work. Unlike this roller coaster, we just are climbing and climbing as pressure escalates, the workload and the debts increase. We are driven to accomplish something but can never enjoy the few things we do accomplish. We see success as always in our future, but we never see it in our present moment. Feeling empty, like there is never enough. Maybe we find ourselves there today. But Peter writes in verse 18 that they were saved from this empty way of life. You see, they had been guilty of seeking shelter in their traditions, their laws that were created by man in attempt to make themselves right with God on their own, seeking only an empty inheritance. As Scripture tells us, we are to seek an internal inheritance that will never spoil, fade, or perish because of our trust in God who has everything in control. Hope. We talked about it last week. Hope. We can find this when we look into the eyes of a hungry child. We can see it in the peace and calm when we look upon a loved one as they prepare to receive their inheritance. Peter says, not a life that will quickly end, but a new life that will go on forever. Don't these moments in life make us stop and slow down and get off the escalator and smell the roses or remember what they used to smell like? This is what God offers us in Christ Jesus. He gives us a redeemed life that can stop the downward slide, that transform the treadmill into a purposeful path and steadiness to the roller coaster and give the uncontrolled escalator a final destination, lifestyle or life substance. Well, let me share with you a couple of ways that we can do this that Peter gives to the church and as us as well. First is we are to live here as strangers on earth. In verse 17, Peter calls this way of living as temporary residence. Literally, those who are strangers in the world. To be a stranger means to live and look differently than those who don't know Christ's saving love, so that they will. I remember this week hearing an interview of a professor who had, someone who had completed their master's degree or doctorate, and they did interviewed atheists and agnostics about Christianity. And they asked them very many questions, but he said that their response, both of them, the biggest problem with Christianity is the way that Christians act. You see, our highest calling is to give our priority to how we live among those who don't yet follow Christ, to live as those who are always moving towards grace. We are to live as strangers here. Number two, we are to live as those redeemed, restored to a relationship with God through the blood of Christ. What does this mean? Peter tells us in 23, for you have been born again, redeemed from the temporal, restored to the eternal, given new life, a second chance which comes to us by grace, no longer subject to the power of sin and death, but filled with the power of the risen Christ. This new way of life is found not in the temporal things of the world, but in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are to live as those who are redeemed. And next, we are to live with faith and hope. Verse 21, through Christ you have come to trust in God. You have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead. We are to live with faith and hope as we move towards grace, leading to a new way of life instilled in us because we trust God. But there is a warning here, and it's a good one, I think, that when we make this move towards grace, it could mean the ride of our life. Because now you are among the living, eternally bound by a deeper relationship with God. I remember our second rafting experience. This time we got smart. We went to Virginia. And if you've ever been to Virginia, there's water in Virginia. So we were assured. The goal again was to prepare us for what was ahead. And so they did. But before I remember as we arrived on the site and we looked off to the left as we came up along the river, our mouths about dropped like that because there was a lot of white, okay, if you've ever done that. So the question for us to consider in this analogy is how can we avoid the downward slide of life, the never-ending treadmill, the roller coaster, and the uncontrollable escalator with a life of substance? Here's what I give you. First, go with the flow. When we know Jesus sets both the course and the current in our lives, Christians can relax and feel confident about the ultimate outcome of their journey. No matter how swift the current grows or how meandering the course may seem, Jesus never loses track of us. Go with the flow. Number two, lean into the rocks. Rocks can be your friends. They're obstacles, apparently threatening and dangerous, especially if you're in a raft or out of the raft. But they also provide a force to move us faster along. So by leaning into the rocks, they taught us that instead of trying to frantically pedal away from them, we were to lean into them so the current would carry us swiftly through, past our fears. Number three, when you go into the turbulence, go feet first, toes up. Remember that. Feet first, toes up. When you fail, forward, fail fast. Don't be afraid of failure. Our failures are best seen not as exercises in trial and error, but trial and successes. When you go in the turbulence, go feet first. I know, because I did that. And if worse comes to worse, number four, let go of everything. And eventually you'll come up. I learned that firsthand. They taught us that if you get thrown out of the raft. Let go of everything. Relax, and you will come up. And I remember as we hit a deep incline, and I was in the back or front, I forget where I was at. Anyway, I went off the side, and I went underwater quicker than a rock, it felt like. And I remember being under, it felt like forever, feeling like I was never going to come up. And I remembered, let go. And I did. Remember, you can float too. And let the water carry you to the surface. Once you're up and breathing again, you can worry about finding something else to hang on to. But you can let go of your worries and your anxieties and hand them over to trust in God. And number five. Remember, you are here because of the thrill. So enjoy it. Life isn't designed to be predictable, safe. If it were, none of us would want to go on it. It would be like the first rafting trip. When you're out of control, the ride can be terrifying. But when you let Jesus be in control, not even in the wildest stretch of white water will you fear, but only enjoy. And we did. Lifestyle, or a life of substance. Jesus Christ offers us a life of substance. The Apostle Peter, who wrote this text, knew the significance of the resurrection personally as he confronted his own sinfulness in the moment of his denial. Peter also knew the joy of the resurrection as he was the one that ran to the tomb and found it was empty. Peter also knew the forgiveness of God by the presence of Christ, who appeared to them after he had risen. His broken relationship was healed, and he once again walked with Christ. His life forever changed. And even though these new Christians were strangers in a foreign land and living as those but they were living, or to live as those who had been born again, who had been given new life because of their greater trust in God. New life. That's what this is about today. This is our move toward grace. And Peter closes this passage to tell us what that looks like when we live this way. In verse 22, now you must show sincere love to each other as your brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. For you have been born again to new life. Not a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal Word of God. Trust in God brings us to a life filled with substance. Jesus said it himself to his disciples. Trust in God and trust